Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
A former Royal Stadium vendor turned radio icon.
It's all tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Your home for everything that's f***ing great.
He's been in a band.
I don't like you.
And he's not to be trifled with.
I'm a hard ass. I'm sorry.
He's Todd Liebo. He's Todd Liebo.
I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd. Hi, what's your name? Todd. I'm Todd.
On the program.
You know, I don't think you should be really sick of guys named Todd. If I get to sit in the big chair, Petro's gone. I'm doing this, and I'm still George Carlin is angry with me. Whatever. It is time to play the feud, and normally I'm a guest on this show at that point, but we have brought Corey Anderson back, and Corey is a good boy who's done a nice job at this game.
A good boy?
I don't know. You said
what?
I was being
and
mean
I have
to you before.
Refused to give him his normal seat back.
We certainly need a contestant, though, so give us a call right now, 913-3810-810 if you want to be a contestant, because even though Petro's not here, someone has a chance to win Il Lazzarone Pizza from our good friends at Il Lazzarone Pizza, two locations, St. Joseph and in the River Market. So all you have to do is call up here. If you win, you definitely get the pizza. And if you lose and you're a good dude or girl,
you'll probably get the pizza anyway.
He says there's only been like twice they didn't give someone pizza. Every time they've been doing this since I've been playing, the person got pizza.
What were the circumstances where the guy didn't
get pizza? Who knows? Maybe
the
they were like really mean or, you know, not funny. I don't know.
Curtis, do you remember?
I don't. I think it may have been early on.
Big Tiger even won pizza. Pretty much everyone gets pizza.
You get pizza. That's what we do.
Early on before Sarin decided that everybody just wins.
Yeah. Anyway, we know we play the feud. Jed's got the categories. We've got a contestant. That contestant's name. Well, first off, Corey, I know you guys only had like 30 seconds to respond to the fact that Patrick Mahomes is getting this big deal.
We got 4 hours tomorrow.
Got 4 hours tomorrow?
Yeah.
You think this is good for the Chiefs to have this guy locked up?
Yeah, I think so.
Why would they give this guy all this money?
I think it works. I think Brett Veach is going to get executive of the year.
First thought, your client, Chris Jones, does this make it more likely or less likely that he's a Chief?
It's done. He's gone.
He's gone.
He'll be a Chief this year and then he's gone.
Well, but that's this year.
He'll be a Chief this year.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's something. Like Fred is our contestant. Hello, Fred. How are you doing, buddy?
Good. Actually, my name is Curtis, but I thought I'd go by Fred.
Oh, to not confuse people.
Simplicity in the game.
Is your name Curtis with a K or a C?
It's with a K.
We wouldn't have been able to tell it apart then.
If he picked Curtis as a teammate, it wouldn't matter. He could just yell Curtis.
Heard the feud before. One of the two.
Is your middle name Fred, or is it Curtis? Curtis your first name and Fred's your middle name, or you just make Fred up?
I just make Fred up. It's from a movie I like.
Fred Claus.
Fred Claus. Doubtful. What's your middle name? Are you embarrassed of your middle name?
I wanted to go by Fred.
Okay, that's fine. I won't make you say your middle name on the radio. That's fine. Fred, you're beyond. Okay, Fred, who do you want to play with? Curtis, your namesake. Corey, the good boy who does a good job at this game. Or the sick and tired of guys named Todd?
Let's go with Todd. You're the most kind to the callers. We'll go with Todd.
How about that? Fred and Todd.
Fence sitter.
And Curtis and Corey.
Let's do it, Curtis.
You want to go first?
Do it.
Fred or second?
Let's go second.
All right. Which one of you guys wants to go first?
Curtis, you pick.
I'll go first.
Okay. Curtis
which
and
means
Lebo.
Fred could go by Curtis because he's going against Corey.
So that means it's you and me, Curtis.
Yes, it is.
Right now.
I'm ready to go.
Let's do it.
Big Tiger. Sorry.
Every week.
I didn't do it last week.
No, that was 2 weeks ago. Instead, you made me angry, and that's probably why you ended up losing. Give me Lebo. Give me Curtis. Hang on, real quick. Fred, do you know how to buzz in?
Yes. Fred.
Yeah.
We'll get there at some point. All right, let's get back to the game. Todd, Curtis, we surveyed 100 of our fine listeners, past or present. We asked them to name a Tennessee Titan.
Todd.
Lebo.
Steve McNair.
What's your top answer? Would you like to play or pass?
What do you think about that one, Fred? You want to play that?
Never heard of that one, Fred.
Let's play it.
Let's play it, buddy.
Fred, over to you, pal.
go with Case Keenum.
It's an odd choice.
Case Keenum, not on the board. One strike, Lebonix.
I will go with Ryan Tannehill.
Ooh. Oh, that's
are you kidding me?
Two strikes. Fredward, okay. Back over to you, buddy. Two strikes on the board.
Chase Kaufman.
Oh, boy.
Chase Kaufman was not on the board. That's three strikes.
What, do we have a chance to win, like, 8 points?
No, Corey, this is pretty good. I mean, I'll bet Steve McNair's 50 right there.
He was 27 at the top answer. You guys have answers two through eight available.
I've got Derrick Henry, Eddie George, Frank Wycheck.
Derrick Henry is the one that I...
That seems obvious.
Yeah.
I thought Ryan Tannehill was obvious.
I think.
But Chiefs fans spent...
Yeah, everybody talked about Derrick Henry.
Afraid
for,
of Derrick Henry, so...
It's got to be Derrick
Henry.
That's
your guys' answer?
Yeah.
Ding.
Derrick Henry was there. That was the third best answer. 43 points over to Curtis and Corey. The answers that you did not get, number two, Eddie George. Number four, Marcus Mariota. Number five, Kerry Collins. Number six, Chris Johnson. Chris
wow.
Jones
you
would have been weird.
Something?
Is there news?
Yeah, you can, at Jed Marshall.
Schefter reporting.
At Jed Row 24.
Jed Schefter reporting.
Number seven, Vince Young. And number eight, Dexter McCluster.
Of course,
everybody's
there's always the ex-chief.
Friend.
Always some
Dex. 43 points.
43 points. All right, Fred.
Come on, Fred.
Corey, we surveyed 100 of our fine listeners. We asked them to name any city in New York State.
Corey.
Fred.
New York City.
What was the top answer? Would you like to play or pass? That incorporates all the boroughs and Jazz.
Oh, okay. New York City includes all the boroughs?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
I'd say play, yeah. Curtis.
You said any city in the country?
Any city in New York.
Any
New York.
City in New York State.
I'm going to say Buffalo.
Buffalo is the second best answer. Corey?
I will say Albany.
It's the third best answer.
Syracuse.
Fifth best answer.
Rochester.
Fourth best answer.
Wow. Now we're into... So you said New York City does all the five boroughs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that includes this. Cooperstown.
Cooperstown was the sixth best answer.
Poughkeepsie.
That's a good guess, though. Not on the board. One
strike. No one makes fun of
Nobody
you on Corey's
that.
Cuts this week for that.
What numbers are we down to? Have we gotten the...
I think we're
seven
late
and
here.
Eight.
Yeah, okay. We're down at the bottom of the barrel. This is the Dexter McCluster of this category.
It's hurtful to Dexter McCluster.
Yes.
K-Dog?
Wow. Criminy.
Ain't an answer.
Parsippany.
Parsippany, New York. Also,
it's a sister city to Poughkeepsie.
Poughkeepsie. Corey, know. Two strikes. Back over to you, buddy.
How about is like Rikers Island?
It's a prison.
Three strikes. Chance
right outside
steal.
New York City. It probably counts as
it's an island.
The Bronx. Or
makes
something.
Makes me think of Michael Rapaport in the Dave Chappelle Show. Let's see here, Fred.
You got anything, Fred?
Lebo, chance to steal.
I'm thinking New Rochelle.
I've heard of that. I was thinking of White Plains as well. That's just outside the city. That's like you used to get credit card bills from White Plains, New York or something. Or, and I don't think this includes the Hamptons, like East Hampton or one of those things out there, because that's not one of the boroughs. That's Long Island.
Long Island.
I've also got, did they say Buffalo?
Yeah, they said Buffalo. What was your other one, Fred? I'm sorry. Have we lost Fred?
Fredward.
You there, Fred?
Here, let's go Yonkers.
Ooh, Yonkers.
Ooh. Need an answer, boys.
Which one do you want to say, Fred? I'll put it on you.
Yonkers.
Yonkers.
That's your final answer?
That's it.
Yes.
Dang it.
Yonkers was not on the board. 90 additional points over to Corey.
Is Binghamton in New York?
Yeah, that's definitely New York
State. That wasn't on the board, though.
But it's there.
The answers that you did not get, number seven, Ithaca.
Ah.
Number eight, Utica.
Ithaca is where
Danny's
Cornell is, right?
Radio.
How many did we get there?
I have 90 points.
133, Corey.
It would
be impossible for you to lose this.
Yonkers, I put Yonkers on when I filled out the survey.
Exactly.
I think Danny was yelling Utica at his radio.
Probably. He yells at his radio some.
All right. We don't need to talk about Danny yelling at his radio being an old man.
No,
Lebo,
I
Curtis,
know.
We surveyed 100 of our fine listeners. We asked them past or present. Name an NBA player from North Carolina.
Curtis.
Curtis.
Michael Jordan.
MJ, top answer, stunning. Would you like to play or pass?
Play it.
I'll play it.
Corey Anderson.
Vince Carter.
Vince was there, number four.
James Worthy.
Number two.
Tyler Hansbrough.
Oh, wow. That was number three.
Boy. Kenny Smith.
One strike. Corey.
Ty Lawson.
Two strikes.
Darn it.
Curtis.
I have a good one.
My goodness. Oh, wow.
They've only had a few.
I know, but I'm trying to think of Eric Montross.
Oh, wow. Eric wow. Montross was there. That was the sixth best answer.
Wow. Rasheed Wallace.
Rasheed. Not oh, wow. in the house. Three strikes.
I'll strike him off my list as someone
Chance
I was about
to
say.
Fred.
I thought that was obvious.
Lebonix. The answers that are not there. 5, 7, 8. If you did not hazard a correct answer, that would end this epic edition of the feud.
All right, so Rasheed Wallace didn't go, but Anton Jameson was the guy who was there with Vince Carter. They were the same, or is he with Rasheed? There was like two groups of guys. They were paired up together. So Anton Jameson played a long time. Who you got, Fred? I mean, Sam Perkins, they didn't say. He was back there in 82. Phil Ford. Former chief, or the chief, former freaking king. Have you got anyone, Fred? I like Anton Jameson right now.
They used up the one that I put when I filled out the survey. I was thinking Harrison Barnes because he's on the Warriors. But I like where you're going better. Let's go
your choice, here. Harrison Barnes or Anton Jameson. You pick.
Anton Jameson.
Now your final answer?
Yes.
Oh. Anton Jameson was not on the board. 82 points over to Corey and Curtis.
Victory.
The what about answers Rick Fox? That
Rick Fox, no.
They'll bring him up.
The answers that you did not get. Number 5, Jerry Stackhouse. Number
Stack
7,
was with Vince.
Harrison Barnes. And number 8, Marvin Williams.
Marvin
whole
Williams.
Whole bunch of points.
So that was a shutout.
Corey
a shutout.
And Curtis just kicked some ass. I don't know what
I told
we do.
You, Corey's a good boy. He came in and did a good job at this game. Why you shake your head at me?
A good boy.
You're a good boy.
Thank you, sir.
You're a nice boy. You came in, you played the game, you did a good job. You didn't embarrass yourself. You didn't not know any Who songs.
Thanks,
everyone
thanks
you
no
said
music,
was,
Jim.
I mean, Poughkeepsie was an actual town.
Mm-hmm.
That was real. And whoever you got a strike on from North Carolina was a real person.
Mm-hmm. Rick
Rasheed
Fox.
Wallace.
Sheed.
Rick Fox. Don't bring Rick Fox up.
Why,
bring
what's wrong with Rick Fox?
Ty Lawson.
Rick Fox beat Oklahoma in the tournament in 1990 with a garbage shot.
Oh, get
oh,
over
Rick
yourself.
Fox.
You're such a baby.
Yeah, I kind of am a baby about that. Hey, Fred, congratulations.
Filling
it's not your fault.
Filling out the survey was no help to me.
Jed, so what answer did you put on New York? Yonkers, and he didn't even take it? Garbage.
It's a percentage, so I get more than 100 people who fill out the survey, so I have to go through and meticulously do the math, find out the percentages. You could tell when you only get one Yonkers and you get seven other of, I don't know, what other turd towns did we have?
Ithaca and Utica.
Yeah, Ithaca and Utica. Sorry, that's the way the game breaks.
It's what happens, Fred. Either way, you're going to win pizza from Il Lazzarone, okay? Thanks for participating in the survey, number one. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. Thanks, buddy.
Yes.
Sorry, Curtis, Fred. You didn't win. You have to read that, Curtis. I don't have my glass.
Adam Schefter says the 10-year extension for Mahomes is worth over $400 million in total per league sources.
If that's the case, then it's not tied to the cap because you wouldn't know what it would be.
He then goes on to say
a smaller
that he
number.
Has 2 years and $27.6 million left on the existing deal, so the total 12-year deal would be at least $427.6, which would eclipse Mike Trout's richest contract in professional sports.
Of course,
by
Mike Trout will
million.
Get all that money no matter what, which
true
is
that.
The baseball contract deal.
I got a feeling Mahomes getting all his, too.
Or more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Mike Trout could break his leg tomorrow and he gets all the money, which is a great thing for the players, but not the greatest thing in the world if the owners would just have some sense and not sign people to 10-year deals in baseball. You know, let me find a 35-year-old pitcher. Let's get you 10 years. How will that work out?
Not well.
Not good?
No.
Not good. Corey, thanks for coming in. Thanks for
you
winning.
You bet, guys.
Like thanks
the easiest
for whitewashing
12-minute segment of your life.
I know.
It's wonderful.
It'd be nice if Todd and Fred put up a fight.
Yeah, we tried.
You talk a lot of smack in this game.
You're talking
smack? To have gotten
smack?
A big zero.
No.
Big goose egg.
We did just fine. We make sure
week,
you win.
Last week, Lebo and Rushmore.
Rushmore.
10 for 10 on the questions.
Two steals. Ran an eight category, never got a strike.
Eight answers sweep, did not miss a single answer.
So, you know, this week.
Clearly it was
don't
Rushmore.
Win.
Rushmore kind of was the Mahomes of the feud.
You didn't have her, so.
Well, I kind of carried that team. She did freeze up trying to say who a Texas Ranger was. It's all good. She gets credit for the win.
She knew the guy who had the drug problem with the tattoos.
That's why he got to steal. Who is the guy with the drug problem? Josh Hamilton? Yes, ding, win. That's too much meta. You can't do that when you're playing the feud. Thanks for coming in, Corey. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk to Jerry Brewer from the Washington Post about some controversy up there about team nickname. Maybe that's going to be something that comes around here in Kansas City, but not today, not on Mahomes Day, that's for sure.
The program with Soren Petro.
Arrogance may not be a uniquely American trait, but I must say you do it better than anyone.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in to the program. I'm Todd Lebo in for Soren Petro today on this day that's historic in a lot of ways. For the NFL and for Patrick Mahomes. And we're joined now by Adam Schefter of ESPN, who broke the news about an hour and a half ago that this contract was agreed to. Adam, first off, thanks for coming on. And secondly, what are the parameters you know right now of this deal?
Well, everybody's waiting to see the parameters, right? I think the key points are that they have an agreement in place. It's a 10-year extension on top of the 2 years he had left. It ties Patrick Mahomes to Kansas City through 2031. So basically, he is under contract until he's 37 years old. That is music to Chiefs fans' ears. It will be the richest contract, I believe, in sports history. He had 2 years and $27.6 million left on his existing deal, $2.8 million this year, $24.8 million next year. 10-year extensions worth over $400 million. I don't know if that's 405, 410. 440. I don't know the exact number. I know it is over $400 million. So if you take over 400 and the 27.6 left, minimum it's worth is 427.6 minimum. And that would make it the highest, richest contract in sports history right there.
And Adam, do you figure this, what's the reason for this being so long? Is it to give the club some flexibility? Is it just to get to that number? We haven't seen 10-year deals in national
look,
football.
We're going to hear a lot about this contract because of the unusual nature of it and because of how great the player himself is. But I think if you're the Chiefs, you've seen what you need to see from Patrick Mahomes. You'd want Patrick Mahomes under contract for as long as you could get him. If you are the player, you want as much security as you can get. Don't know the actual guarantees, but you've got a contract that conceivably should set you up for the remainder of your life. Okay, now, again, you're giving away your career, but you're giving it away for a huge amount of money. So both sides get something they want, and we'll see how it works out.
ESPN's Adam Schefter is our guest right now on this Patrick Mahomes contract. And, Adam, I guess one of the you wouldn't sign a 10-year deal if you didn't love the place, right? Andy Reid, Brett Veach, the Chiefs, Kingdom, and Patrick Mahomes, they have a love affair, right? So yep. There seemed to be a mutual respect on each side in this. This was not any acrimonious thing that anyone has heard. Had you heard anything other than good things about these negotiations?
No. I mean, and I think the fact that this is done tells you that they obviously wanted to get this done and planned to get this done and had good relationships. And obviously, you know, when both sides are committing that long, you don't get married to somebody for 12 years unless you feel really good about them.
Now, Adam Schefter is our guest from ESPN, and the next question would be about how does this have any effect, if at all, for this season or for a long-term contract of Chris Jones? He has to get something figured out by the 15th of July. Does this help or hinder that process?
I honestly haven't thought about it. We're talking about the richest contract in sports history. Chris Jones is down the list on the list of things I was checking on here, but Mahomes' deal is so massive that again, I don't know the breakdown. I got to get the structure to understand how it would impact Chris Jones. I couldn't address that knowledgeably.
And your guess on this thing, you know, the Mike Trout deal, we've seen some people on Twitter talking about that. That's guaranteed money. That's the way it works in Major League Baseball. I'm assuming that there will be some sort of renegotiation at some point in the middle of this 12-year deal because that's or 10-year deal added on to this. That's just the nature of football contracts, right? This is going to be something I'm guessing we'll probably have some flexibility on both sides. Will they be able to kind of work things out and make the team be better? Patrick has always seemed to be one of those guys who wants the team to do well, too. He seems like he would probably work down the road to help them if they needed to.
Yeah, no, listen, I think that's part of this. They'll redo this deal again in the future. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And, again, when you get a big number, the first place teams always look is to that big number, to a guy that is committed to the franchise. And so when they need to free up cap space in the year 2028 to go sign, some young phenom, at that point in time, I'm sure Mahomes will be the first place that they go to.
ESPN's Adam Schefter is our guest. A couple real quick ones, because I know you're very busy today. There's rumors here and there. Have you heard anything about this maybe being tied as a percentage of the cap? There had been kind of back and forth on that.
I've heard some talk. There are a lot of people who think it will be. My understanding is that the Chiefs did not want to do that. They were adamant about not doing that. And my guess is, in the end, that it's not done as a percentage of the cap. But, again, we're waiting to see the final details.
And we're still a few weeks away from teams trying to get into camp. Are you confident? What are you hearing from people in the teams in the league about having protocols in place to where camps will actually open for the NFL?
Yeah, look, I think the league is determined to get to camp, to play the season, to do all those things. There's no doubt that they're making plans, carrying out those plans. All those plans are in place. But the fact of the matter is, we're dealing with an invisible enemy here that nobody knows how it's going to impact things. And so while the league is ambitious and optimistic and determined and willful, all those things, I don't discount that for a second, their determination to get this done. They're going to try to get it done. But the fact of the matter is, again, you're talking about a very difficult, unpredictable enemy.
All right, Adam, thanks so much for your help today coming on with us and breaking this news about Patrick Mahomes and the historic deal. Get back after it, okay, buddy?
Thank you.
Thanks. There's Adam Schefter from ESPN helping us out here on that. Get some details there, Curtis. He doesn't think that the Chiefs are going to have this thing tied to the cap. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically what he reported earlier. We'll see if there's anything new on that he's hearing from people. But as he pointed out in his answer to you, that's something the Chiefs have been adamant about not wanting to do. So in the end, Schefter, who's as wired in as anybody, says he doesn't believe it'll be that way. But, I mean, I'd love to know who it is that's telling them that or suggesting
that. I get the feeling that not a lot of people woke up this morning thinking this was going to happen. The Chiefs have done a great job of keeping a lot of these things under wrap. It kind of took a trip to the liquor store to get some champagne to kind of get the word buzzing around about this. It's interesting stuff. So you heard it right there. It's going to be $400+ million for Patrick Mahomes on this deal with the Chiefs. It'll keep him until he's 37 years old. Big news. That's Adam Schefter from ESPN on the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro is off. Todd Lebo here with you for the next few hours. And Houston, we don't have sports on the field yet. We're getting closer and closer. The Royals are having their workouts out at the K, and Sporting KC are down there in Orlando getting ready to hopefully have some soccer at some point. But one of the big things going around the country right now is name change stuff. And to talk about that, we've got Jerry Brewer, columnist from the Washington Post, to talk about the Washington Redskins and that name change that it looks like it's inevitable at this point. First off, hello, Jerry. How you doing? How is everything in our nation's capital?
Doing well. We're all hanging in there.
Hanging in the best we can. The world seems to be on fast forward now. It's been on slow motion for, hundreds of years maybe. And it seems like this last couple of months we're on a real fast forward pace. And there's some real momentum now to get the name of the Washington Redskins changed. And this is something that Daniel Snyder, who's owned the team, a majority owner of the team for over two decades, has been very resistant to. What do you think the catalyst has been to make this thing a reality, hopefully here in the next few, before the season, I guess. I don't know. What is the timeline on this?
That's that national racial reckoning that we're all experiencing and how tied the NFL is to that. I mean, I think that you can draw a line from the protest to Black Lives Matter to Roger Goodell's response to some of his young players, including Patrick Mahomes, making such a strong, pointed, powerful video, all the way to this. I mean, the NFL can't say that it is a part of this new movement without addressing this issue now that it's back in the limelight. And, you know, unlike Braves, Indians, Chiefs, Blackhawks, Redskins is a dictionary-defined racial slur. What does it have? It doesn't have any business being attached to an NFL franchise. And in this moment, when you're trying to set things right that have been wrong, and people just say, "Well, that's the way it's always was," you know, now that we're challenging those kinds of traditions, it's only proper that you come after that name, and that Daniel Snyder changes. And so, what's really changed? He's got pressure from local politicians. He has pressure from advertisers and sponsors who make up, you know, give tens of millions of dollars a year to the franchise, and he has pressure from NFL leadership to make this change. So he's boxed in a lot of ways.
Jerry Brewer from the Washington Post is our guest talking about the Washington Redskins, and hopefully a name change will be coming soon. Snyder has been, defiant, really. What was his reasoning? Did he have any real reasoning? Were there ever any real in-depth conversations why he thought this was okay?
Well, I mean, for one, I'm sure he was on the line of thought. It's been this way forever. I mean, the franchise has been named that since 1933. It's been in Washington or attached to Washington since 1937. So he kind of our brand is tied into that. You know, you used to hear a lot of that if you change it, you're messing with the franchise as we know it. That how in the world are you going to tie that in to the glory of the Joe Gibbs era, which I think is just a really binary, simple-minded, fossil way of thinking. But that was kind of the thought. And then let's not forget, in 2016, the Washington Post did a poll. It was over, I believe, 500-plus sampling of Native Americans, and 9 out of 10 said they were okay with the nickname. But that is really kind of a nuanced thing, right, Todd? You're talking about a name that was at one point offensive, that was appropriated into the mainstream and disguised itself as inoffensive. And as a franchise rose to glory, it became associated with something else. And I think that's why a lot of people, especially, who don't go all the way back in time, that it's just become something that doesn't mean the same to them as it might mean to some people who are more elder, or people who, unfortunately have passed away.
That's the tricky part about a lot of this stuff, because if you have a poll like that, I mean, something that's, that bothers someone, should it bother that group of people? Or is it okay if it bothers another group of people? And eventually you just kind of get to, what's the point? It's not that important. If it bothers enough people, whether it's your customers who are going to go to your games or watch it on TV, or it's, the Native Americans who are generations away from the worst atrocities but still deal with so many things in America today, it's a weird world we're living in where, it doesn't take that many people now, I guess, to kind of make a stink and get some things changed. And that's kind of the power that is going around with what were certainly before minorities that had no voice. And now a few people can reach so many more people. That's the good side of social media and stuff like that. There can be some good things that come from it and all the mess that's out there. But, a minority of people can get something changed now. That seems to be some sort of progress, I guess, in America.
You know, you hope so. I mean, it's there's a difference between getting the attention of a sports franchise and solving systemic racism. But yeah, I mean, I think that it used to be, if you want to go all the way back into the era of the civil rights movement, you used to march at the end because it took so long for you to mobilize that many people. And the march almost kind of symbolized that climactic moment of the fight. In this case, a lot of times you start marching at the beginning because it's a lot easier with social media and other mechanisms to mobilize people. And so that's something that's incredibly different. But I think that there is, at least in this moment, more people are willing to listen to the unheard, and the concerns of minority groups. How long that lasts, that's something to be skeptical about. And how much progress do we ultimately make in breaking down systems in which, racism can lie and spread? We'll find that out as well.
Jerry Brewer from the Washington Post is our guest, and we're talking about the possible change in name of the franchise, the Redskins. And I guess that's one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot over this time. I've got a couple of kids. I got a 23-year-old and a 21-year-old now. So they've educated me a lot on things that I never even thought about, right? Real discussions with people who are younger than me. And I think that's a good thing for all of us, because you shouldn't stop learning and growing ever, because that's when you get yourself in a spot where you just don't understand other people in the world. And one of the things that I've been trying to figure out is what's important. I mean, what is a statue in a small town in Mississippi important? Is the name of a franchise important? Or are the issues so big that it's okay to take small victories and low-hanging fruit to get to the bigger thing? Because what you don't want to do is say, well, we already did all these little things. That's enough, right? The real right. problems are the real problems. So is something like the name of the Redskins, I think it is important enough to make that's a true symbolic thing, because it's something that more people see than just walking past some statue somewhere. But it's not the end of the game to get more equality in the country. So how do you kind of pick and choose what's the most important stuff, I guess?
Well, I think that you can do both. I think one thing that's pretty powerful about tearing down symbols, let's put statues, monuments, even team names in that genre. Symbols are really powerful sources of unconscious bias, implicit bias. And I think that you normalize things that aren't right. I mean, if you just want to think about the name of the Washington football team, you have normalized for eight decades that word is okay. And it's not. And I think that's what the problem is. I think that, before we start solving the big stuff, we do have to solve the little things. You cannot normalize that it's okay to hail and erect statues and keep statues for leaders of the Confederacy, whether it be Stonewall Jackson, Robert E. Lee, whoever, because within that, and you hear that all the time, and we just came off of a big NASCAR controversy around Bubba Wallace and the noose and all of that. You just kept hearing, this is our heritage. You're erasing our heritage. You're erasing our history. History is not fragile like that. What we're saying is you cannot celebrate the negative of a history and try to disguise that as positive. I mean, it is just as dangerous as taking the name Redskins, appropriating it into the mainstream, and trying to pretend that it's something that it's not. And so I think that you know, if you want to solve the big issues, we got to all stop pretending here. And we got to all stop protecting the symbols of our ignorance. And that I think, is why, you know, that these little things are kind of running the same race as these big things.
We're talking to Jerry Brewer from the Washington Post. What do you think the next steps are here? How long will this take? You know, I've seen all kinds of people just suggestions. I mean, any clue at all how they'll go about finding a new name for the franchise?
Well, I mean, hopefully the process will be open, and it'll be that a lot of fans will have input. You can make it a real fun process that way. I'm not sure that's the way that they're going to do it. Ron Rivera, the new coach, he has said that they hope to have a new name in place by the time they start the season, you know, just a couple of months away. And he said that he and Daniel Snyder have already been talking about names, a couple of which I really like. Well, you know, it's not just about getting rid of the name and just turning to something. It's about doing something that is responsible and will hold up over time, and hopefully that you can get some passion and enthusiasm behind two men. And Daniel Snyder he's in Europe right now vacationing. So two men, you know, talking over cell phone or Zoom or however they communicate, text message, and deciding that they're going to change the name to Warriors or Hogs or whatever they come up with. That's just not going to get it done to me. I mean, I think that can be as problematic as getting rid of the name. I think it should be a process that people can appreciate. I mean, you know, just in you know, Kansas City's MLS team is still relatively new. I mean, they've been around for a while, but they're still relatively new, and you'll remember the process, just like when I was in Seattle, and I remember when Seattle Sounders FC was founded, and I remember how cool it was. Just wondering, what's the team's name going to be? What are their colors going to be? You know, in this case, they probably keep the burgundy and gold. I don't really see any reason to mess with that. That would probably be too much change. But what's the logo going to be? What's the team's going to be? What are the traditions around the team, the new traditions going to be? I think all of that, the more inclusive you make it, the more fun it can be for your fan base. It can be something that can galvanize them. But if you want to dictate to them, then it's going to become polarizing. So I think that the real step for them is to just, you know, be willing to listen to people. And maybe there's an idea that they have that you haven't even thought about that would be really cool. And I think just you don't have to have a process where it's a true vote, but I think vetting public opinion is incredibly important to the marketing of a rebranding.
Yeah, you'll never know what you learn if you just listen. I don't think Daniel Snyder's done a lot of listening to people over the years, because he just continues to change coaches and approach running his franchise in maybe not the best way. He is I don't know much about him other than what I read, so I haven't been around him. And I know you haven't been in D.C. the entire time he's there. But is his personality just to where, like, he put his feet down so hard on this several years ago, saying they would never change the name, that he just didn't want to – you think there's a chance that he wants to change the name but doesn't want to go back on what he said? Or is there a chance that he's maybe evolving and learning a little bit more and understanding it more? Or is he getting dragged kicking and screaming into this process?
I think he's being dragged kicking and screaming in the process. He is a very stubborn, obstinate individual. And I think that in this process, he's going to try to make it look like, for Spence's sake, that it was more of his idea that he caught the way things were going in this moment, and he reevaluated, and nobody forced him to do it. This is something that he wanted to do, but deep down inside, he knows that's a lie. And deep down inside, he's very, very frustrated at this, because this is an issue where he drew such a clear line, but now people are coming back, and now there's support behind it, and essentially, when you think about what advertisers and political leaders and everyone is doing, whether it be FedEx, Nike, PepsiCo, they're telling them it's going to be really hard for you to do business if you keep this name. You're going to lose a lot of money if you keep this name. So if we can't make a moral appeal to you, let's make a financial appeal to you. So you can either lose it and lose everything in keeping the name, or you can move forward morally, even though it's forced. And there's a lot of dollars behind that. You maintain your sponsors, you fire up your fan base, you get kind of like this double hit of merchandising. Like, people are going to scramble to keep the merchandise of the old team, because now it's this retro kind of thing. So they're going to buy that up like crazy before, like, all of that stuff is gone. And then fans, you know, true fans, and then fans who have been away from the team for a long time are going to come back, and they're going to want to buy your new merchandise. So it's potentially lucrative. I mean, you hate to say that, because this is supposed mm-hmm. to be a moral decision, but, I mean, just appealing to the mind of a billionaire owner who doesn't like being told what to do, that's probably the case that you have to make to him. And in that case, like, it's just not only would it be morally irresponsible not to change, it would be financially irresponsible not to change.
With everything going on in the nation's capital all the time, and with everything that's happening right now in the nation's capital, with, you know, the COVID outbreaks and Black Lives Matter, social injustice, all this, how big is this in D.C. right now and in the region? Because it's not just a D.C. team, obviously. They play in Virginia, and they draw fans from all over the place. Where does this rank on the, like, everyone's daily stuff right now? Is this a big deal right now?
Well, I mean, I think underneath, the election, the pandemic, social injustice, I think this is right there, you know, as a fourth. Among sports fans, it's the issue, because this is the team that really defines the region. So I think it's a big, big deal. I mean, you can just see anecdotally in terms of the traffic story, these stories are driving, the amount of messages, be it messages at the end of stories that go on for 2,000 and 3,000 messages, the kind of messages that I'm getting on social media, the heat in addition to the praise that I'm getting, all that, it all factors in, and it's a big deal. I mean, anytime this franchise does anything, it's a big deal. And you have to be the Nationals winning a World Series, or you have to be the Capitals winning the Stanley Cup to distract from the attention that just an average Washington Redskins controversy receives.
Jerry Brewer is our guest from the Washington Post, and we've just got a few seconds here left. We'll do our final four. I'm not normally hosting, Seren does, but it's his thing. We do the final four. These are quick answers. You can, you know, don't go real long on them is the point, because Seren will actually make these go too long. I'm joking. Seren's not here. We'll go quick on these, Jerry. So first up on the final four, we all care about Alex Smith back here in Kansas City. Is there any chance at all he's going to, like, be in a Redskins camp or ever even participate in any way in the NFL again after seeing all the stuff he's gone through?
I think it's an incredible long shot, but he is determined to get back on that field in some way. And I'm not sure we'll ever see him throw a pass in a game again, but I do think you'll see him back on the practice field at some point, at least trying to get back.
And secondly, the Nationals won the World Series last year. They're not practicing today because they're having some issues with their testing and all that stuff. What's your confidence level on whether we're going to have baseball starting here in a few weeks?
I'm confident that you'll see the first few games, I'm not confident that they're going to be able to survive even a 60-game schedule.
Thirdly, give me a front runner or something you'd like the Redskins' new name to be.
Oh, man, I would like Red Tails, which would be, you know, a really cool kind of honoring of, you know, African-American pilots, and a real simple logo, you know. You just have a plane. Nothing offensive about that. I think they would go with Warriors.
With Warriors, all right. And lastly, all right, I went to the University of Oklahoma, and I noticed over the weekend on July 4th, a kid from Washington, D.C. is the number one quarterback in the country. Caleb Williams has committed to be a Sooner. Have you ever seen this kid play at this Gonzaga Prep or whatever this school is? Is he someone who people kind of pay attention to in D.C.? I know high school football is not the biggest thing, but it's not very often you have the best quarterback in the country in D.C.
I have not seen him play. I've heard plenty. You know, I mean, I covered too much college and professional sports, so don't get a lot of high school. But everything I've heard, he's the real deal. And it's a great disappointment that there isn't a team in the DMV that's good enough for him to go to where he didn't feel like he had to be the savior. Lincoln Riley is going to be a very happy man, and I think that kid is an NFL quarterback.
Well, the Sooners, our poor Sooners, haven't had any quarterbacks recently, so it's just hard for them to kind of get through. I get my friends give me so much trouble. Why wouldn't you go play for Lincoln Riley? I mean, it just works. So.
If you're a dual threat quarterback, absolutely.
Absolutely. Hey, Jerry, thanks so much for your time, and we'll be keeping watching what goes on with this Redskins and getting this name changed, and hopefully we'll have sports this fall to talk about at some point. That'd be really fun.
All right. Sounds great, man.
All right, there's Jerry Brewer from the Washington Post, and we'll see, Curtis, if the name change stuff comes to Kansas City. It could. I mean, it could. I don't know what's going to happen, but today is the day that Patrick Mahomes has agreed to a 10-year extension to his career in Kansas City, which will actually be 12 football seasons through 2031. We had Adam Schefter on this hour breaking that down. This is going to be something to see when we get all these details on this contract.
Yeah, he said it was at least $400 million, which we kind of expected. And then he said he'd been hearing from people that that might be tied to the salary cap, but he thinks it will not because the Chiefs have been so adamant about that. So that's all going to come out in the coming days and weeks, I would imagine.
Just about every day is a good day to be Patrick Mahomes. This is a really, really good day to be Patrick Mahomes. We'll go around the country on the drill next on the program. I'm going to ask every single person how Patrick Mahomes affects their city.
The burnt end of the hour question, brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, before changing their name to the Redskins in 1933, what was their team name? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.